Ka-chunk, ka-chunk. There it is. That was very unsatisfying.
Can you turn my headphones a little? I can't hear.
Turn them up?
Yeah, a little bit. There
like
we
that?
Go. Yes, thank
okay.
you.
Okay. That was very unsatisfying.
Yeah, it was too digital, not analog enough.
That is a... Okay, so a brief history of musical presentation on this podcast.
For you newcomers to this podcast of the cinema.
We began in 2010 with Alonzo playing a Pizzicato 5 snippet of music on his computer that never was loud enough.
No, it was always way too loud.
Oh,
and then
was,
the show
then we
wasn't loud.
Whatever. The volume was a problem.
Yeah.
And we were too technologically inept. And by we, I mean you, because
yes.
I've never been ept at it. You've learned many things.
Yes.
I have not. And then, like, a solution. A life hack.
Oh, I thought we promised we weren't saying that anymore.
I've not yet begun to say life hack in this episode.
The only life hack I like is the one where you put vanilla ice cream into what's left of your Nutella jar.
What
to
happens?
Scrape, to scrape up those last bits.
That's what your tongue is for.
Well, most of us don't have a tongue that can reach the bottom of a jar.
I pity people whose
and
tongues...
neither do you.
...cannot do the things with Nutella jars that my tongue can do.
Before people start writing in, you can't do it either.
Here's what I can do. I can get my fingers down in the bottom of that Nutella jar.
Oh, yeah.
Lick it off my fingers, and then I can get my tongue up in around that ridge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that upper inner
well,
ridge
anybody
where the
can
stuff
do
is
that.
Stuck, and I do that. And I'm efficient.
Mm-hmm.
Can I finish my story?
I wish you would.
May I finish my story? My name is Dave White. I'm the film critic for Movies.com.
And I'm Alonzo Duralde, film reviews editor of The Wrap and film critic for What the Flick. And we are both sweltering right now because it's hot in Los Angeles and the oven
it's
is
not
on.
Hot. It's,
yeah,
just,
it's
a warm day.
For
it's
February
a typical,
1st, it's warm.
A typical 70-degree January day in Los Angeles.
It's February.
Whatever. I've got the oven on because I'm making... dinner. Anyway,
smells good, by the way.
It's gonna be good. This is a podcast of the cinema in which we begin to talk about the cinema eventually.
When we feel like it.
So, okay, so then my life hack.
You're so 2007 with
was
the,
that
with
I
the
took,
lingo.
Was that I took my late father's old cassette player that we keep in the kitchen.
Right.
And we use to listen to our cassettes that are stacked up on one side of the kitchen counter.
Yes.
While I'm cooking or doing dishes. And we just began playing songs off our cassettes. And then after a couple years of that, we thought, you know what's going to happen? We're eventually going to get, you know, like 100 listeners. And one of them is going to be someone who thinks, those guys aren't supposed to be playing that music. I'm going to have them sued. And so we got our pal Blue, who's a singer-songwriter of note.
Yes.
To write us a theme song, which then went onto a cassette to continue the tradition of playing the cassettes as theme song
and
opening music.
And the sound of the ka-chunky-chunk-unk of the cassette tape going into the player.
And then came the fateful day two weeks ago,
I think, yeah.
When the cassette died.
Yes.
And now I just played it on a CD.
It lacks a certain je ne sais quoi.
It's fine. It's
The playing, not the song.
It doesn't make me happy. Anyway.
We need a new blank audio cassette to put the song
on. We have one in the closet, I think, somewhere.
Well, dig it out. I'll make a tape.
All right. Okay. Today is the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Do you know who's playing?
Shockingly, yes.
Quickly,
it's
say
the
it.
Patriots and the Seahawks.
Which team, the Seahawks or the Patriots,
uh-huh.
Which team is LeBron James on?
Neither?
That's right.
Okay.
It was a trick question. I loved that you answered it with a question mark, though.
I don't care about this stuff. I'm not interested. The only reason that I know the teams is because, you know, just from osmosis, like from watching Saturday Night Live, there's no escaping knowing this.
Yes. You know that the Patriots are playing because people keep posting pictures of Joanna Lumley on Facebook with the meme that says, Go Pats.
Oh, funny. I missed that. I didn't see that.
How could you miss that? It's all over.
I have not seen it on my Facebook
feed. How many homosexuals are you connected to
on
Facebook?
Not enough, clearly. I know about the deflated balls. That's all I know.
That was not today.
No, but it was the Patriots.
It was a week or two ago.
Yes. Yeah.
It was very important.
Super, yes. Very important.
Right, there are three movies that came out this week.
There's three that we've seen.
No.
Yes.
What have you seen?
I saw Wild Card.
Oh, I haven't seen Wild Card. Right. I saw Project Almanac.
Right, and we both saw The Loft. There are three movies that we've seen. There are other movies that we have not seen.
We did not see Black and White.
Black or White.
Sorry, Black or White.
We didn't see either of them.
Because Alonzo is racist.
Oh, you liar. Stop that. I didn't...
Defend yourself.
Defend yourself
against this accusation of racism.
You are full of beans. I sent Ingu to review it for the Wrap, and I didn't get around to seeing it, mainly because Ingu said it was terrible and, in fact, racist. So I took her word for it and didn't go.
I couldn't go. It was conflicting with another screening.
Mm-hmm.
It was conflicting with, Project Almanac, I think.
Could be.
And... So that meant that I chose Project Almanac because Ingu said this movie was racist.
Project Almanac's opening on a few thousand more screens, probably.
Oh, is it?
I think. I don't think Black or White's opening super wide.
I thought it was.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Anyway,
I'll go see it in the morning. I'll write my review. It doesn't matter. It's not like Movies.com posts my reviews on time. Ever.
I had a little bit of that with the Flick this week, actually. Like, they just posted Black or White today, the one that the other folks did. And they still haven't posted the Mordecai review that Christy and I did, so, you know.
No one cares about that either.
Apparently not.
Low priority. Mordecai. Who saw Mordecai?
Critics. Nobody did. Only critics.
Critics. And, the 19 people that were in the screening I was in.
You had to pay to see it. That's right.
Thursday night before it opened.
So we'll cover the three movies that we've seen. I will do a quick sum up of Sundance. I've only got really one more movie that I didn't talk about on last week's episode with Vibs that I wanted to mention real quick. And that is a debut film from writer-director Matt Sobel called Take Me to the River, which is funny and uncomfortable and squirmy in the same way that Force Majeure was. So if you were a fan of that film last year... this one, I think, will be right up your alley. Has a really cool cast that includes Robin Weigert, who is in the movie Concussion, which I adore, which no one saw.
Even me. I didn't
you
even
need
it.
To see it. And
I will. One of these days.
Uh-huh.
Like, when I'm in the nursing home...
I was going to say, one of these days, decades from now.
I've got time... when I'm in the nursing home.
You're always bugging me about your little, foreign people with dirt in their eyes movies, but you never see any of the ones that I recommend to you.
People with dirt in their eyes?
Yes. Sandstorms and whatever.
What image in your head has
The Touring Horse to me just sounds like about a movie about people with dirt in their eyes.
Okay, that's true.
So there.
That's accurate.
So, the day that you get around to seeing Higher Ground or Concussion or Real Genius or anything else that I've ever said you need to see, maybe I will get around to seeing one of yours.
I hear Bélotar is remaking Real Genius.
That would be awesome. It's going to be 14 hours long. Anyway, Take Me to the River. I don't really want to talk about it too much because it's the cool, weird way that it unfolds and the surprises that make it so awesome. But Robin Weigert's in it. Also, Josh Hamilton, an actor who I've always thought was interesting. You've seen him in a million things.
Yes, I know who you're talking about.
He plays a very creepy uncle who just has a way of just standing there and you're like, what's going on? What are you looking at?
I've always worried, not why I don't anymore, but when we were younger,
mm-hmm.
and we were first, going to visit your family in Atlanta, I was always worried about not being like, I was always, in the back of my head, I was always like, I got to make sure I'm not the creepy uncle.
You are not the creepy uncle.
Like I was never worried really that I was, but I was always on my guard against being the creepy
uncle. I would argue there are no creepy uncles in my family.
No, there are none. There aren't. That's why I was determined.
You didn't want to be the one.
I didn't want to be the first one, you know. Yeah.
Well played, Dave White.
Thanks.
You've pulled that off.
Yeah.
So, thanks again to Bibbs and Whitney for divvying us up last week. Dave did the B-Movies podcast with Whitney and with Christy Lemire, which if you haven't checked out yet, go listen to it. It's a lot of fun.
I'm a delight.
And then Bibbs and I did Linoleum Knife from Park City.
Somewhat less entertaining.
Yeah. Anyway, so they're both worth checking out if you haven't already. But so, yeah, it's Super Bowl Sunday, and we're not watching the game at the moment, or probably at all, but we'll be watching commercials. You want to watch commercials, right?
I'm going to watch the commercials, and I'm going to watch Katy Perry.
Okay.
Because she's going to sing Teenage Dream. That song is real good. Also, she's going to sing California Girls.
And Fireworks.
That song is real good. I don't like Fireworks.
You don't?
No. Fireworks is dumb. Fireworks is a self-improvement anthem or self-empowerment anthem or whatever. I don't like the anthems. I like the party jams. I like California Girls.
Baby?
Yeah.
You're a firework.
No, I'm not.
You light up the sky.
No.
Like the 4th of July.
No.
Yes.
No.
Believe.
I don't know.
You are a firework.
I don't. I'm not a thing like that. Can you hear the dogs barking of our neighbors? Our horrible, horrible neighbors that we hate? Those are their dogs barking. All our windows and doors are open right now because it's too warm.
To seal the place.
Thanks to dinner. So, okay.
I will be watching
while
the puppy
you were gone. While you were gone to Sundance, I went to see Goodbye to Language again. With my art film bro, Matt Severson.
Yes.
And also his friend and our listener, Michael.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Hi, Michael.
He's been listening to us for like a year, and I didn't know that was happening.
One day we will meet you all, because there aren't that many.
There aren't that many of you. he was telling me that at first he didn't like us because we didn't talk about the movies fast enough.
Ah.
Like, we didn't get to the movies until like 20 minutes in.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, but now that's my favorite part, the part where you don't talk
there
about
we
movies.
Go.
He said, I like it better than when you do talk about
that's
the movies.
That's how we get you.
So now I think that the part where we do talk about the movies is the sucky part of the show.
It's a balance of all the things.
Maybe.
It all goes into the pot. Now, we already talked about Goodbye to Language, but you were going to tell the story about the guest?
The guest was the female star whose name I've completely blanked
on.
Oh,
way to go.
Do you want to pause so I can find her name?
Sure.
Her name is Eloise Godet.
Okay.
And she...
Was she 3D in real life?
Yes.
Okay.
She's the woman in the film. Who is frequently completely naked in the movie. And so she got up on stage after the film. And I'm not going to simulate her delightful, adorable...
lilting French accent?
Accent, no. But she said, I'm overdressed for tonight. You've all already seen me completely naked. And then she made us all put our 3D glasses back on so that she could take a picture of the audience with her cell phone, which she then immediately texted to Jean-Luc Godard.
Do we think Godard texts?
Obviously he does, because she sent him the photo.
Right,
and
but did it go to assistant, or do you think he's all like LOL all day?
I think he's like LOL all day.
Okay, thanks, bye.
These last two films, I think, are the
he
proof.
He does love cat videos. We know this.
These last two films, I believe, are the proof that he is as technologically savvy as I am not.
True, he's got you beat. Yeah. You'd have a jitterbug if you could.
And so, so that was great. She also talked about the script that he gave her, which was just sort of this handwritten thing where he cut pictures out of places and he was like, okay, this is all going to be the image that's going to happen. And then all this other stuff is going to happen. And then I'm going to insert the actors into scenes between all this imagery.
Shots of my dog.
Shots of my dog and stuff like that. So it was a script that I can't even imagine what it looks like But it's like a storybook script. Anyway, seeing it again the second time, just staggeringly beautiful and dense with his obsessions and references to stuff that, you know, you need someone off to the side of the screen with, like, notes that they hand you when the movie's over. So you can go out and find out, like, what quote that was, who that was from. Like, at the end of the movie, there's the credits are all the people he quoted and referenced, but that goes by just
well,
like
there
that.
Should be, they should do the pop-up video version in 3D.
I want to know, I want to know exactly where it came from. Because I'm not smart enough to know all that stuff. Already.
Jean-Luc Godard's I Scratched My Cornea, the movie.
All right, so what did we both see?
We both saw
The Loft. Okay, it's crap.
Yeah.
Although,
you know, I posted my review on Facebook, and Dan Waters, author of Heathers and Hudson Hawk and Batman Returns, claims that it was funny bad enough to merit the 1250. Like, he quoted the conversation between James Marsden and the woman he falls in love with, where she says, "I'm a whore." And he says, "Don't say that about yourself." She goes,
No,
I'm a prostitute. He says, "That's a," he goes, "No, you've got to, you know, don't say that." And she finally says, "Men have sex with me for money."
He may have a point. It may need my second viewing some future.
Couple of beers under your belt.
Day at, like,
our friends at Host Bad Movie Night.
At Bill and Steve's, because I was just bored out of my head.
I chuckled moments, a few times, but mostly
there
it's
are
just
moments
like,
that are funny. There are moments that are funny unintentionally, like that sequence right there.
This thing was apparently shot like 4 years ago.
Not surprising.
And sat on the shelf.
That is not surprising to me at all. It's
a remake of a Belgian film with the same director. Not since The Vanishing. And both versions have Matthias Schoenaerts in it.
Is it Schoenaerts or Skinnerts?
I don't know. Maybe it's Skinnerts.
I like Skinnerts.
I'm
it
sure
sounds
some,
harder.
Someone will write in and tell us probably. We'll say Skinnerts, who I like. He's an actor I dig very much. But boy, this movie
is... He was in Bullhead. You should see Bullhead.
He's great in Bullhead. I didn't see Rust and Bone.
I did. He's really good in that, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then he's in The Drop, which you like more than I did, but he's good in that, too.
Yep.
And very convincingly American, much more so in that movie than in this
one. Yeah, for a Belgian guy, you would never know most of the time where he's from. There are a few moments here in this film where his accent seems to be perhaps not American.
Sneaking out a bit. Yeah. Carl Urban, same as his Australian, kind of pops out a little
he's
too.
Like, "Give me that knife!
Knife!" So the premise is that these five friends, we never, ever buy as
understand
friends
why they're friends
in the slightest, are all sharing a loft for naughty adultery times.
Sex apartment.
Yes, sex apartment. It's like The Apartment crossed with Dirty Pretty Things. One morning, super repressed Wentworth Miller, who is so super repressed in this movie, it's almost funny, shows up and, oops, dead blonde in the bed, handcuffed and stabbed in a pool of blood, and oh no.
Right.
And so all the five guys gather to try and figure out like how it happened and who else might have had a key or was it one of them. And then there's all these flashbacks about how they're all married to the worst women ever, because like all the women in this movie are harridans.
Let's pause this until these damn dogs shut up.
Dave just taught the dogs downstairs how he gets the last bits of peanut butter out of a jar, and now that's keeping them entertained. No, I'm kidding. They're still barking.
Are we back on?
Yes.
You didn't tell me we were going back on?
Well, I thought you could tell because I started talking, and I'm leaning into the microphone.
Yeah, I thought you were
why
talking
else
to
would
me, not to the microphone.
I'm never talking to you.
Why did you turn the mic back on? The dogs are still going out.
Because I thought they stopped for a second.
They did not.
I thought they were going to.
They didn't stop for even a second.
They did stop for a second, or I wouldn't have done it. Anyway, I'm not waiting for the dogs. We don't have
you
all
think
day.
You think I'm deaf?
You are deaf. It's not a matter of whether or not I think it. Anyway, the women in this movie are portrayed just really ridiculously in a sort of shrewy sexist manner. All the wives are brunettes. All the mistresses are blonde. And the men, of course, are all jerks, too, because they're all married, but they're all sort of, like, panting after, you know, any skirt that walks past them. So, pretty much, you just want everyone in this movie to be dead. And I never really cared about it. The guy, the cinematographer, you can tell, hit on this idea that he thought was really great, because much of the movie is the cops sort of interrogating all these guys, trying to get to the bottom of who the dead lady is and how she got there. And so the cinematographer will get, like, super close up in profile on one of the actors while he's giving his testimony to the cops and being all sweaty and shaky. And the camera will do kind of like a 180 around the front of his head to the other side of his head.
Fishbowl.
With a fisheye lens. And they do it over and over again. And I'll tell you, it's one thing to get a close up of James Marsden with a fisheye lens, something else entirely when it's Eric Stone Street.
Is it called Fisheye or Fishbowl?
Fisheye.
You sure about that?
I'm positive.
Okay. You are the professor.
Google James Wong Howe.
You're the professor of cinema.
That's right. Don't you forget.
In a legit professorial.
I'm an adjunct
capacity. This film is not just a little sexist. This film is structurally misogynist. This film
the casting
stars five men whose names you know if you pay attention to this sort of thing.
Yeah,
it stars an equivalent amount of women that you have probably never seen or heard of before in your life. The casting is such that
the women automatically don't matter as much because they're not as famous.
The script makes them nothing.
Yeah.
And they in turn cast women who were unknown for the most part. Like Rona Mitra has been in
Doomsday,
which is a movie I think is great.
Super fun. And some other stuff. And Callie Rocha I recognize because she was in Space Station 76, and I've seen her in stuff locally.
But it is really sort of like, and I'm not saying these women are terrible actresses.
No, it's not their fault.
But it's that the movie, they are unknowns, and the film
couldn't be less interested in them.
Couldn't be interested in them anyway. Their characters are nothing. This film is nothing. I'd be interested to see it again with a group of like-minded haters to see if they could make it a fun evening for me. Because I'm always willing to have bad turned into good bad.
Sure.
With the right crowd.
Yes.
This isn't the one for me at the moment.
Yeah.
It's just terrible.
It is. All right, tell us about Project Almanac.
These kids build a time machine. And they built the time machine because they have found the time machine, the prototype for the time machine, in the basement, in the secret locked electronics laboratory basement of one of their dead fathers. So they build the time machine, they attach it to an Xbox and their phones, and they get it all rigged up. And these are teen geniuses. And then one of them says, "Hey, man, time travel 101, we go back and kill Hitler." And the rest of them are like, "No, we didn't get to see Lollapalooza. Let's go see Imagine Dragons."
Woo! Because that's what you want to do when you have dominion over time and space.
So they go back to 3 months to see Imagine Dragons at Lollapalooza, and you think that the film is
going to goof on time travel movies?
Going to goof on time travel movies.
You know, that we have the hot tub for that.
But what they do instead is take it seriously and sort of dive into the ramifications of going back 3 months to go do nothing important.
By going to Imagine Dragons, we've upset the time continuum rift.
Yeah, it becomes butterfly effect and crazy, crazy, disastrous.
And fixing it only makes it worse.
Stuff happens,
right?
And so one of them tries to go back and fix it by himself, which is not the rule. And there's just can we pause it again?
Oh my God, I hate everyone today.
We just had to close all our doors.
God. I hate the Super Bowl. I hate the dogs. I hate the neighbors who are watching the Super Bowl. I hate everyone today.
You don't hate those neighbors because those are nice neighbors.
Well, next door generally, but you know what? I need them to shut up while I've got the door open because you've got the oven on. I'm sweating and they're being loud. We're trying to tape a podcast in here.
It's very important.
Tens of people are waiting for this podcast.
Okay, so here's what I learned. I'm not going to spoil the rest of this movie. It's pretty entertaining.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's pretty entertaining. You know,
found footagey stuff get annoying?
Well, it's not it's not found footage.
Well, you know what I mean.
It's
sort of the handheld camera, first-person
phone
POV.
Camera POV kind of thing, yeah. You could call it an iPhone movie.
Uh-huh.
It's not a found footage movie.
Okay, fine.
No, it doesn't bother me at all. That stuff, that look is everywhere. It's they stole all their moves from Cloverfield and all the other films.
Project X Men Act.
Yeah. And here's again. I'm not going to spoil it because it's pretty entertaining. Here's what we learned. I don't like Imagine Dragons. I think that if you have gone back in time, and that was the reason, then you should be punched in the face.
We're going to go back 3 months to see Smash Mouth.
Yeah. From the credits, I learned that 3 of the 4 members of Imagine Dragons are named Daniel.
Wow. Yeah. That's not awkward or confusing.
The other guy's name is Ben. So it's Ben, Dan.
I'm Daniel. This is my bandmate Daniel. This is my other bandmate Daniel.
We're brothers. So, I'm not going to tell you what happens.
But you like it, though.
It's kind of fun. I kind of liked it. It's if you have a problem with time travel films, it is going to give you the same problems you always have with time travel films.
Gotcha.
In that,
how did they know to start if they never went to the thing?
Yeah. It's a perpetually screwed up system of logic that you can never fix. It's fine. Nothing. Don't like run out for it. You know, watch it when it's free somewhere in your house, or you know what I mean.
But it's okay.
It's okay.
All right. I'm kind of that way with Wild Card, which is the latest Jason Statham movie, which is based on the William Goldman novel Heat, which previously gave us the Burt Reynolds movie Heat in the 80s. That was one of the movies that kind of killed Burt Reynolds' career. This time around, Goldman does the adaptation. And oddly enough, the script is one of the problems. It's one of those movies that feels like it's missing an act. Like, things just sort of start happening really fast, and you feel like there's big chunks of this on the floor somewhere that they didn't fill in. Like, it all just sort of... We get from point A to point B very quickly without much... sort of dramatic anything, and it's kind of like, whoa, wait, that's it? But it is a kind of fun, junky movie. It is sort of like your classic B movie. If you were watching it at a drive-in as the second movie on a double feature, you'd be perfectly entertained by it. It zips along nicely. Jason Statham plays this guy who's kind of a fixer. He's kind of a bodyguard and kind of knows everybody in town, and you go to him for things. In Vegas, he wants very much to get out of Vegas, and there's a couple things going on at once, but where this rich guy played by Michael Angarano, who is also in the Stanford Prison Experiment, which I just saw at Sundance and is one of the best things in it. He's really good. He plays this sort of nerdy millionaire who hires Jason Statham for reasons that aren't quite apparent immediately. A friend of Jason Statham's, who is a prostitute, gets roughed up by this mobster, and she wants to hire him to get revenge. There's various odds and ends kind of going on.
When I was a prostitute, I never got roughed up by mobsters.
Well, you had the right pimp.
I was my own.
You were a free agent.
That was freelance.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, you got lucky, I guess.
Yeah.
It's one of these movies where there's a ton of people in it who have very little to do. Like, Hope Davis is in this movie, and Anne Heche, and Stanley Tucci is this sort of higher-up mobby guy who's very funny, and if you close your eyes and listen to him, you would swear it's Kevin Spacey. He's totally doing Kevin Spacey voice. It's funny.
Interesting.
The mob guy is Milo Ventimiglia. But they're all in it, but they don't, Sofia Vergara pops up in one scene and is never seen again. It's a strange movie. I don't know where they were going, and I kind of feel like the book
some
probably...
Millennium Films or something?
I think it is, actually, yeah, yeah. And it premiered, it was day and date, so it's like it's in a handful of theaters and it's on demand. It's so not
anyone can watch it right now.
Anyone can watch in the United States. Yeah, can watch it right now. It's not bad. It's just not particularly good. But you know, Statham's fun to watch, and he gets two or three scenes where he gets to beat up a bunch of people, which is always entertaining.
That's what you want from him.
That's what you want from him. So yeah, it's part of a good movie. You feel like it was maybe could have built towards something more, and it just didn't. But it's as a seamy little B movie exercise, it's okay.
And then I saw... No, that's it.
That's it?
That's it. We're done. Hooray!
What's your DVD pick?
Podcast over.
No, we have a bunch of letters. What's your DVD pick?
Dear White People.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. From our friend Justin Simeon, who does the director commentary, which I very much want to listen to.
Is that your DVD pick?
No. You picked it, so I did something else.
No, what did you pick?
Mine is a movie called Boys. It is a Dutch film that we screened at Outfest last summer that Wolf is now putting out on DVD. And it's a very sweet teen romance. These two guys who are on a track relay team. One of them's like the new guy in town, and they hang out and they bond and they go swimming after practice and stuff, and it gets all romantical and it's very sweet, and I liked it.
Oh, okay.
That's it.
So it's gay.
Yeah.
All right. It's not just about some boys. It's about some boys that want to smooch and
boys in love,
hug and kiss and stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I was gonna say my DVD pick was gonna be Nos, Time is Illmatic, but I haven't seen it yet, and I want to see it.
What the hell does Illmatic mean? No way to control it.
What do you think
it's totally Illmatic.
What do you think it means?
I have no idea.
Why are you giving me tone?
Because it's a stupid word.
Illmatic. Illmatic is the name of a Nas album from the 90s. It's probably one of the most important hip-hop records of that decade.
Is it important?
One of the most significant hip-hop records of that decade, yes.
Great.
It is considered a classic, a hip-hop classic.
Okay.
You talk about hip-hop as though it were from some other planet and some other era. You are the generation of hip-hop.
Yeah, but it has never affected my life.
As old as we are, that's what people don't understand. People our age were young teenage people when hip hop sort of became a thing.
No, I know.
When it became, known. And so the way you talk about it is weird to me because you act like you're some kind of grandpa that never understood it, and it came along after you were already grown.
No,
but it didn't. It came along when you were like in eighth grade.
The early stuff, yeah.
Yes, early stuff.
I'm concurrent with it, but it just never... I never developed an ear for it.
Yeah.
Apart from like the Beastie Boys and whatever other goofy stuff,
Yeah.
PM Dawn, as you like to mock me about. But it was never my thing.
I like Set Adrift on Memory Bliss.
I never wore a Fila tracksuit and tried to breakdance like other white guys I knew.
I never did that.
I was never that guy.
I was punk rock, but I also liked hip hop.
I did like the are we counting the PIL Africa Bambaataa collaboration? But yeah, generally speaking, it was never my thing.
Yeah.
So it's not that I'm not of the era of it. It's not like Thundercats or something that came around after I was too old for it. I just it was never my thing. We have letters. Share some, please.
I'm going to crank them out here. We got like five letters.
Okay, go.
I'm going to bust them out.
Go.
Because my timer's fixing to go off.
Quit talking and read letters.
Hello, David Alonzo. This is from Patrick.
Mm-hmm.
This is my third time writing into the show. You might recall me as the one who compared Dave to a peacock in the last essay contest. Yes, I do remember that.
That's such a Troy McClure intro. You may know me from such letters as...
Dave White is a peacock. I am in high school and have been listening to you guys since you started. I have a few questions and a top 10 list.
All right.
For Alonzo, did you happen to catch Rick Alverson's new film, Entertainment, with John C. Reilly at Sundance?
I did not. There were a whole lot of... The thing about Sundance is that it's sort of like Comic-Con. You have to resign yourself to the fact that you are not going to see and do all the things that there are to see and do. And I did not see or do that one.
Out of everything you saw at Sundance, which would you recommend to look out for?
My favorite doc would probably be Best of Enemies, which I talked about last week, the film about Gore Vidal and William F. Buckley and their network television debates during the 1968 political conventions. And my favorite narrative would probably be the one I talked about today, Take Me to the River.
Yeah. Now, the part for me is just him telling me that he's seen pretty much everything that I've ever recommended on this show.
Well, someone should.
Touring Horse, Werkmeister Harmonies, Chiming Lang, Sean Sono, Alexander Sokurov.
I also recommended
Godard.
Sean Sono.
Oh, okay, yeah, sure. You're as cool as me.
No, I'm giving
sometimes.
You Chiming Lang and Bela Tarr, but I, you know, I just want a little credit.
And then he asks me, have you seen Alexei German's Hard to Be a God? And I have not, so I should check that out.
Get on it, Dave White.
The list below is my top 10 from 2014. The only one I missed was The Last of the Unjust. I wanted to check out Shoah first. You get an A linoleum knife class.
Good luck with that.
You get a grade of A in the class linoleum knife.
Mm.
Here's his list.
Okay.
All right. Force Majeure.
Yeah.
The Grand Budapest Hotel.
Sure.
Journey to the West.
I didn't see it.
Me neither. We'll give it to you.
Sure.
Monica Mana.
Yeah.
Only Lovers Left Alive.
Yeah.
Whiplash.
Mm-hmm.
Goodbye to Language.
Sure.
Norte, The End of History.
I didn't see you did.
Yes. Winter Sleep, which neither of us have seen. And Stray Dogs, which was the best film of 2014. So you, sir, are also 100% knife, in addition to being the best student at Linoleum Knife High School.
What a suck up. Don't you know when you're being brown nosed? Well done, sir.
This is from David. Hey, Dave. I sincerely wanted to thank you for your fantastic movie reviews.
Oh.
That's right. I first discovered you about a decade ago on movies.com, and you have guided my movie watching ever since. What you do is important and valuable.
How lovely.
So, a couple of weeks ago, you read out my buddy's list that had 500 Days of Summer as his favorite film.
All right.
Rest assured, he's well aware of how ridiculous this is. But he's remained steadfast about it being number one, and no one is ever going to change that, except maybe a girlfriend. So here is my top 10.
Okay.
Fargo.
All right.
Stalker.
It's
fantastic. Alien.
Mm-hmm.
The Exorcist.
Mm-hmm.
The Apartment.
Mm-hmm.
Badlands.
Which you just saw for the first time?
Which I just saw The Apartment for the first time over Christmas.
Yeah.
Badlands.
Yeah.
Duck Soup.
Yeah.
Paths of Glory.
Mm-hmm.
The Thing.
Yeah.
Blade Runner.
Yeah.
Dude, you also are 100% knife.
Did he say which The Thing, or not that it matters?
It doesn't matter. They're both good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's that third one now. You know?
Which I also kind of like.
It didn't suck.
Yeah. Thanks. Do people do the Dave's Not Here Man to you? I hate that. No one has ever done that to me.
Huh.
Nobody has ever done, Dave's not here, man. No one in my life has ever done that to me. People have told me about it and asked me, do people say this to you?
Uh-huh.
And nobody ever says this to me.
Hmm. Well, I get Alonzo with some regularity, not too often.
Sincerely, Dave. He's from Calgary.
Hmm.
I figured he was from Canada or the England, because favorite is spelled
with a U.
Yeah.
Is he a big bone gal from southern Alberta?
I don't know. This is from Chuck. Dear Dave and Alonzo, I bought a new car.
Oh, well, yay.
Well, come. We want to ride in your Mercedes, boy.
I've got a ticket to anywhere.
I bought a new car, and you were the second thing I listened to on my fancy new phone-connected sound system.
Well, why weren't we first?
I don't know. Clearly, the failure on his part. I used Dave's voice to modulate the bass and treble.
I could see you abusing a subwoofer or two.
And Alonzo's to strike the right different strokes, facts of life balance. Carry on. Thank you, Chuck.
Good luck with your new car.
This is from Katie. Hey, guys, love the podcast. I love Manola.
Oh.
And her crotchety ways. Even if I also love Obvious Child. I love it all. I know you were overrun with movies to watch for your jobs, but I just had to write in with a supplemental recommendation. My husband and I watched a strange little French movie called Bird People. 2014, Pascal Ferron is the director's name. This was last night, and I'm pretty sure I don't remember you talking about it, but you should definitely watch it. The movie ended, and I turned to my husband and said, I'm pretty sure Dave White will love this.
It's, you're weak to get recommendations from listeners.
That's all. Hope Alonzo has a great time at Sundance.
Thank you.
Katie.
I did. I didn't get sick. Woo!
This is from Sean. Alonzo, Dave, what's up? It is Sean who gets high.
Well, hey, Sean. read the subject line of this letter.
This letter was written while on Adderall. I'm sorry. Sean, you're our highest listener.
Mm.
Checking back in with the new top 10 list.
Okay.
Gentlemen to review. Not necessarily my legit top 10, with 10 movies that really pushed my limits as a writer, storyteller, in terms of the complexity I need to be striving for.
Okay.
I just think you need to keep getting high. I think that's how you're going to get good like that.
Maybe you shouldn't say that.
Get high. I never do this.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I never get high. Everyone else, though, tune in, turn on, turn out.
Drop.
Turn it up. Stick it.
Turn me loose.
Stir it up. Did you ever see the movie Stick It?
It's not called Gymnastics? No, I never
did. Oh, that was such a good movie. Okay. Number one, I will happily be Dr. Kevorkian for Alonzo when he is reaching his final days. I know Dave refuses to participate in such a grim affair. You would think that I would.
Yeah.
You would think that I would be all hopped up to murder.
You're pro-death and all.
I am pro-murder and death. But not you. I like you quite a bit. Evidence, I have been married to you for how many years now? Going on 18.
Yeah.
In the doggy kitty wedding. 18,
right, right. Going on 20.
Going on 20 as a couple.
Yeah.
And going on 9. No.
Going on 7.
7, I can't add with numbers.
as a legitimately married, legal, yes.
I could murder...
I don't want you to murder me now.
I could murder pretty much anybody.
I want you to murder me when I'm...
Including the listeners.
When I'm infirm.
But I can't murder you because of love.
No, you're not helping.
He says, I have a very good reason to do so. In his final days, I will force Alonzo to watch Heat. On repeat. Hopefully converting him to the Michael Mann world of fandom by the 10th viewing. See, I'm like Mother Teresa when she used to convert people on their deathbeds.
Look, if the guys from The Worst Idea of All Time can watch Grown Ups 2 52 times and still hate Adam Sandler, I am not going to be turned around on Michael Mann.
He said, I will not be mean-spirited and make you watch Miami Vice. I am a good person.
Well, thank you.
Number two, the intro song is great. Whoever doesn't like it is wrong.
Thank you.
Number three, The Intouchables is a solid movie. It is cliche and hokey at times, but overall it tells an engaging and unique story with a lot of zest.
Mm. Zest.
I like that word.
It's zesty.
Zest. Number four, I need help with the title for my new script. It's about a hardened lesbian undercover agent who struggles to maintain her sanity as she infiltrates a group of neo-Nazi human traffickers in San Francisco. Looking for the man who murdered her younger brother. I'm really into this story already. Basically, imagine Katie Sackhoff, covered in tattoos, shooting neo-Nazis and Chinese gangsters in the face.
Undercover dyke.
I had some big, I had some big opportunities with it earlier, but I messed up and sent out unpolished drafts. I can only blame my ADD so much for my lack of discipline, but in the end, I learned my lesson. Thing is, it's getting solid reviews on industry sites like Blacklist, and now I've been told to change the title. It's currently Fire in Her Blood.
Hmm.
But I was thinking about changing it to Among Savages, City by the Bay, Stray Bullets, or Fallen Sparrows.
How about Lesbo the Hero?
What do you think? I love Lesbo the Hero.
Cuts right to it, I think.
That's a really good title.
By the way, don't be sending out new scripts until you've read Reed Martin's
The Real Truth. Everything you didn't know you needed to know about making an independent film. Right.
He's not even paying for this week, and I'm just going to throw that out there
anyway.
This
isn't even an ad week for us. You better read that book.
Yeah.
Lesbo the Hero.
There you go. Done. I'm a genius.
You could also call it
Lady Killer.
Yeah, you could call it Lady Killer. You could call it, Womurder. You could call it...
Not Without My Dead Brother.
Not Without My Dead Brother. You could call it, I don't know. We'll think of other titles. Yes. Listeners, what do you think he should title his movie?
San Fran Murder.
Tell us what you think about Sean's plot. And
based on his log line, yeah. what titles can
What's
you come
the title?
Up with?
Come up with titles for Sean.
We'll share them on the show.
And we will share them, the good ones, yes. on the show. And now my top 10. Okay. The Diving Bell and the Butterfly. The Celebration.
Yeah.
Pusher 3.
I didn't see any of the Push-Its.
You didn't see any of the Pusher movies?
Oh, Pusher. I thought you said
Did
Pusher.
I say Push-It?
Yes.
I meant
Pusher. I haven't seen any of the Pusher movies either.
Oh, well, they're great. The Proposition.
Didn't see it.
Gomorrah.
Didn't see it.
A Bittersweet Life.
Never heard of it.
I have never heard of A Bittersweet Life. Okay. Troubled Waters, 2008. I don't know that one
never
either.
Never heard of that one either?
Talk to Her.
Yes.
Johnny Toe's Election, which is really
oh,
great.
Oh, yeah, that is a good one.
And Rob the Mob, which I don't know.
I remember we reviewed it at the Wrap. I did not. And I heard it was okay. It was a bad title.
I have seen 7 of your 10. I have not heard of 3. You are still 100% knife, because when we don't know something, you get it.
You know what? I'm not going to give him Diving Bell and the Butterfly, because I don't like that movie that much.
Oh, really?
So he gets a 95% knife. Okay. Sorry, Sean. But we will right. ask for new titles for your script.
Last letter. This is from Dan. Mm-hmm. Dear David Alonso, a belated Happy New Year to you both. It is my longstanding habit to begin a Monday morning with a new episode of Linoleum Knife. Over time, the show's opening theme has gotten into my subconscious, acting in tandem with the first whiff of coffee to cue my body fully awake. I never realized this more keenly than today. With all due condolences to your busted cassette, I can say that the sound of it breaking was worthy of a Blumhouse picture and will keep me sleepless and alert for weeks. All that was missing was that title card sting from Insidious. Thanks for keeping it fresh. Best wishes for another great year, Dan.
Sorry, Dan.
Who gave me the link to his site, fieldspointreview.com.
Okay.
That's all one word, fields, like track and fields, pointreview.com. Oops. P.S. The last time I wrote Linoleum Life was regarding a heated domestic argument over the merits of Only God Forgives. I believe Alonzo remarked that I should marry anyone who consented to patch things up over numerous successive viewings of The Raid Redemption. The Raid Redemption. That's... I didn't go to the next line of the sentence fast enough. I'm happy to say that you called it first. We will be tying the knot in exactly 3 months.
Oh, congratulations.
I don't always do what film critics tell me to do, but consider it a union forged, in part at least, under a linoleum star.
Oh, well, happy to have been able to help there.
Remember, friends, that elaborate displays of pensaxillat can save your marriage.
I've always thought so.
Thanks, Dan.
Oh, yay.
Congratulations on your... upcoming weddings.
And I also want to thank...
As many as you want.
Yes. I want to thank J.M. Nutt for leaving us another nice review on iTunes. Your positive reviews help boost our presence on iTunes and gets us better placement on their like main podcast page or their movie podcast page or whatever. And
your positive review.
Helps people find the show. So we do appreciate that. Is that it? Are we done?
What?
Yeah, you're putting things away, so yeah, you're done.
I'm obviously. Done.
All right, well, I'm going to zip through this real quick, because it's been a while. We thank you for listening, and we urge you to check out our friends online. Go to ChristyLemire.com. Check out the Rotten Tomatoes podcast and Malton on Movies and the Canon over at Wolf Pop. Also, listen to the B-Movies podcast with Bibbs and Whitney. Dennis Anyone with Dennis Hensley. The Brett Easton Ellis podcast, The Schmoes Know, Fat Guys of the Movies, The Criterion Cast, Film Spotting SVU, The Game Night Guys, and Secretly Timid. Again, you can review us on iTunes. You can also subscribe to the show for free there. You can also stream us at Stitcher Radio or thelounge.com and leave us feedback there as well. There's also a handy app for streaming us on Facebook, on our Facebook Linoleum Knife podcast page. So please go over there and give us a like if you haven't already. You can also join the Linoleum Knife group page where our listeners talk to each other about movies and such. And subscribe to our YouTube channel. We've been taking old episodes and uploading them as YouTube files. I did finally find my external hard drive. It was in the box of Christmas ribbons.
No.
Because it's a small thing and very easily lost, but it has been found. Thanks again to Blue, as always, for our wonderful theme music.
You can find him. We have a box of Christmas ribbons.
You can find him online at Bluetopia.com.
A variety of colors and textures and patterns.
It is. Bluetopia.
Gift wrapping is incredibly important in this house.
.com.
If you ever get a gift from us, it's going to look amazing.
Yes, it's true. Our email address is linoleumpodcast@gmail.com. You can drop us a line there with any lists or notions or questions. It's also the place to PayPal us for things like our Linoleum Knife Present More Linoleum Knife episodes.
Which, by the way,
we will
the signed adventure has happened.
Yes.
It is done. It's ready to go.
It'll be going
buy
up.
Buy it.
If it's not up by the time this podcast posts,
it'll
be
up tomorrow.
In the next day or two. So be on the lookout for that. We'll be announcing it also on our Facebook and YouTube and Twitter.
All of those things.
When that goes up. Oh, by the way, follow us on Twitter at LinoleumCast. And if anybody knows how I can get at Linoleum Knife, because the guy who registered that did it in like late 2007, tweeted once and has never been back. So I really want that Twitter address.
Tweet order.
Yes. Let's go. But our other Linoleum Knife special episodes you can get include the Clue, Josie and the Pussycats, Two for the Road, The Apple, and of course our holiday favorites, White Christmas and Santa
Claus.
Which
you don't want right now.
Not really. It's February. No. It's February.
Yeah, it's February. Goodbye.
January was a blur. Anyway, thank you for listening. We'll catch you next time.
Goodbye.
Go. Now I hit the mic.
Goodbye. Goodbye.